Okay. Okay. You are translating in
Polish.
In Polish. For two, for one? For one. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just last weekend in Golokadam we had a Vaishnavi retreat, and I feel like almost still be in the Vaishnavi retreat. I was traveling 3 weeks ago in Czech Republic, and there they have a place where there is a small village of 100 people, and in that village are now 5 or 6 families of devotees. So the percentage of bhaktas in the village is increasing very fast. And they have somehow hopes to develop something like a community, a Vaishnava community in that village. And they asked me to speak in connection to that. And when I heard from Govinda and from Sachinandana's family that the topic is somehow focused on community building, I thought it would be a good contribution for me to speak about that, and I hope it will be inspiring. We can see that when Srila Prabhupada was on this earth, he really gave his blood to establish ISKCON and to build up temples and books and translation. And before he left, he told us that there was a good part he did not have time to do, but he was actually leaving that in our hands. And this is very much connected to Varnashram Dharma and building up communities. And we can see until now that we don't have so many successful communities in our movement. We can see that it's not such an easy thing. And especially because it goes in a very deep root. It's directly on how we are actually collaborating together. How are we respecting each other? How are we encouraging each other in Krishna consciousness? And there we can see that there is actually a lot of work to be done, and it's actually not such an easy issue. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us 3 very important items for the success in devotional life. And this is turned toward Vaishnava Seva, Namaruchi, and Jivodaya. That means serving the devotees, developing taste in chanting the holy name, and developing compassion for the fallen souls or souls who are suffering. And so I would like to speak today on Vaishnava Seva, tomorrow on Namaruchi, and day after tomorrow on Jivadaya. So I will try at least. I would like to... Could you find him? Maybe he went there in the meantime.
Yeah.
Is the other Brahmachari, Sharanga Thakur, the servant, there in the office? Okay. So I think you just come and sit if you like to participate.
Yes.
To the... So I would like to start by reading a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that is actually very, very meaningful. It is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, Verse 24. That's a prayer that happened on the battlefield. Who of you is not familiar with the story of Vritasura in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Vritasura was a devotee in his previous life, and he somehow one day he met Lord Shiva, and he was in the middle of an assembly of sages, and Lord Shiva had Parvati on his lap, and he was speaking about renunciation. And Chitraketu Maharaj had a little laughter, thinking, you are speaking on renunciation and Parvati is sitting on your lap. And actually everyone found it amusing, but Parvati did not like it at all. Mm-hmm. And she cursed him that he would have to become a demon. And therefore Maharaj Chitraketu took the form of Vritasura, and we find this story in the sixth canto. Now Vritasura was a devotee. He was in the form of a demon, but he was very deeply a devotee. And the demigods started to fight with him. And a big battle happened, and Indra was one of the main soldiers fighting against Vritasura. And there, in the middle of this battlefield, suddenly Vritasura stopped fighting and started to pray to the Lord. And here is one of the prayers he was saying. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servant, who finds shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become thy servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So here, Vritasura is giving us a very interesting key. Isn't it what we are trying to do in Krishna consciousness? Are we trying to always absorb our thoughts in the Lord? Are we trying to always engage our body in the loving service of the Lord, and to use our thoughts, our words, in the service of the Lord? And I think it's all our goal, it's all what we are trying to do in this movement for Krishna consciousness. And I think everyone came to the point, it's actually not such an easy thing. We have restless minds that brings us all around the world, thinking of so many different things. We have so many material desires that keeps us entangled in many different places of our life. But here Vritasura, Hare Krishna, here Vritasura is saying, when will I again be established in this position of being the servant of your servant of your servant? Then I will be able to have all my thoughts toward you. I will be able to have all my activities engaged in your loving devotional service and all my words. So Vritasura is giving one key to come to this high platform of Krishna consciousness through actually coming to this position of servant, of the servant, of the servant. We had last weekend for this Vaishnavi retreat Her Grace Devaki Mataji in Goloka Dham, and she was speaking on the point of giving shelter and taking shelter between devotees. And she was explaining that it's actually not so easy to come out of a dutiful service. We are all doing duty service. I have to chant my rounds. I have to do this or to do that in connection to Krishna. And it's actually very good. It's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. Should be basically grounded on this aspect of duty. But as we know, we cannot do it for long like this. We need to go in a higher steps of actually doing our devotional service out of love more than out of duty. And when we can't come to this platform of doing out of love, then Krishna reciprocate. Then we get a beautiful experience in Krishna consciousness that motivate us further to do our devotional service more in a platform of love and devotion. So it's like a vicious cycle. If we don't are able to go out of the duty, we don't get much realization, and then we don't get much inspiration to go in a higher state of Krishna consciousness. And then Mataji was explaining that actually when we come to this point of of good relationship with devotees, when we come to this point that we can give shelter and take shelter from other devotees, or in the words of Rita Sura, when we come to this point of being able to actually please the devotees and serve them with our full heart, then actually we are granted to come in this feeling service, not this mechanical service, but this loving service, because this is what we are looking for, this softness of heart, and this can be generated through proper Vaishnava relationship. And basically all the relationship between devotees become harmonious when we are in the mood of service. Mataji was saying that actually what is preventing us to enter into this mood of service is our envy toward other Vaishnavas. And she was saying toward a junior devotee, sometimes one become envious, because junior devotees are actually often full of enthusiasm and progressing very fast. And then the older devotees who have less enthusiasm, often they become envious. How can he dare? Who is he? He's just for some months or years in the movement. Who he thinks he is that he thinks he can now start to do so many projects or so many things. Often envy is manifested in that realm. Then she was saying that envy is often also manifested in equals, in devotees who are on the equal level. Because although they are supposed to develop friendship between each other, often unconsciously or indirectly they try to show, I'm actually a little senior than you. I'm a little more advanced than you. And very often it's very difficult for equal to have a very good collaboration, because there is this false ego that is coming in between and that wants to push everyone to think, actually I'm a little bit superior or a little more advanced to the other. And Mataji Devaki was even bringing it to the example of the Gaudiya Math. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati wanted already at that time to establish a GBC system and have everything actually in very good collaboration. But Mataji was saying, because they were all very much equal between each other, all those leaders of the Gaudiya Math, and because of this difficulty to collaborate on equal level, they actually all had to do their own math and all had to do their own small groups. They just could not work into the roof of one institution. And then she was praising a little bit our ISKCON, who somehow can manage to, although it's not easy, but to somehow work on this collaboration. But this collaboration between equals, it's actually also very, very difficult. So in the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to read few of his sentences, which are actually very illuminating. Srila Prabhupada writes, "This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Dasanudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis." We somehow all get an idea that our constitutional position is the one of a servant, and we know I'm Krishna Das, I'm a Nishinga Das, I'm a servant of the Lord. But even closer to us and even more sweet is to come to this position of being servant of the servant of the servant. There is very, very special nectar, very special reward that the Lord is ready to give. And Prabhupada mentioned there that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually doing that. We know when Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was so much transformed by the initiation of his spiritual master and by having the darshan of the Lord, that he was transformed into a bhakta, and he he was just trying to gather clothes of the other devotees and just do service for them. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, how many times Mahaprabhu would take the bucket and would serve the prasadam to the devotees? He would show himself this position of being the servant of the servant of the servant. In Ratayatra, Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy in front of the Jagannath cart, and suddenly he said, "I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a grihastha, I'm not a vanaprasthi, I'm not a shudra or a brahmana, I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis." So I guess most of us, we have heard that many, many times. But how much did this thought cling in our hearts? How much did we feel, oh yeah, here is a key in my devotional life. Here is actually a shortcut for mercy. This is actually one of the main routes that will give me the full realization of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I'm very happy I can speak a little bit on that topic. It's very enlivening. There is a pastimes of Lord Krishna that happened in a place in Vrindavan which is called Prem Sarovar. That's a place which is in between Nandagram and between Varshana. And one day, Srimati Radharani and Krishna were meeting in that place, and Madhu Mangal was there with them. And as Radha and Krishna were exchanging very nice words together, a bumblebee came and started to disturb the divine couple, and Madhu Mangal took a stick and started to chastise the bumblebee. And Radhanath Swami said that the words of Srimati Radharani are so sweet that the bumblebee was just attracted by the sweetness of her words and was just flying around her mouth. So Madhu Mangal started to chase this bumblebee, and bumblebee also is called Madhusudan, which is also a name of Krishna. And then the bumblebee went away, and Madhu Mangal said, "I chased him away, now Madhusudan is gone." And when Srimati Radharani heard Madhusudan is gone, she just became afflicted with so much feelings of separation that she started to cry, and cry uninterrupted tears. And when Krishna saw how much love Radharani had for him, he also started to cry, and both of them were crying and crying, and this formed this Sarovar, this Kund, this lake, the Prem Sarovar Kund. Radhanath Swami explained that although they meet every day, the devotees and Krishna meet every day in the spiritual dimension, it's always ever fresh. They never remember that they were meeting before, but they always have a little anxiety or little fear that separation will come. And when Krishna saw how much Radharani had love for him, he thought, "I also want to experience that. I also want to become a servant. Srimati Radharani is acting totally as my servant, and she is relishing more love and more nectar than what I'm relishing. I want to become as a servant. I want to become as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And here we have a very beautiful example that the position of being a servant is actually the highest position. It's actually the position that rewards the highest bliss to the devotees. When we are children and we go to school, our teachers are asking us, "What do you want to become when you are old? What type of identity do you want to have when you are old? Do you like to become a doctor or a scientist? What do you want to become?" And for the devotees, what we should aspire to become is to become a servant of the servant. That should be actually our highest aspiration. And that is what is giving us the highest bliss, the highest form of pleasure in spiritual life. This is the most precious identity we can come in. Why is so important to train ourselves to become a servant? Why is it necessary? I'm telling you, okay, it brings us the highest pleasure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us that this is the way. So many statements. Krishna said, the one who says he's my devotee is actually not my devotee, but the one who is the servant of my devotee is my real devotee. But what will happen when we engage in service in our own self? What transformation will happen when we learn to serve? Okay. Any other?
Krishna is more pleased when we serve his devotee than we serve him directly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other?
To develop devotion.
Okay. Very good. I'm looking for a specific answer that did not come up yet. It will counteract something in us.
The
anatta. Anattas, yeah.
Envy.
Yeah. Basically our ego. Actually, envy is a manifestation of our ego. But basically, we have this bad tendency of always putting ourselves in the center, of being egoistic, even in the movement of Krishna consciousness. Very often we are seeing just Krishna and me, and I go and reach Krishna, but we are not thinking of sharing or being kind with others. We are still very much into the center. So this service attitude is actually working directly in opposition to the false ego of us being in the center. Therefore it's very, very important, and Prabhupada wanted so much that we are living with devotees, that we are in association with devotees, so that actually we can get this opportunity of serving and serving and serving and becoming rid of this ego of thinking we are actually in the center. Once there was a festival and Giriraj Swami was a guest of this festival, and there was a big row of Vaishnavas. And at the end of the line were all the sannyasi and VIP. And when they came to serve Giriraj Swami, Maharaj just woke up and took the bucket and said, "Enough to be served. Now I want to become I want to be the servant of the Vaishnavas." And just went through the lines with the bucket. I noticed when I was in Czech Republic, I was visiting one of the temples, and it was Prasadam time. And everyone was sitting down. And nobody was serving. Everyone was just sitting down waiting to be served. And I felt, my God, what's going on here? Let me stand up and let me take the bucket. And then I felt just so blissful to do that service. And everyone was surprised that I was a little bit like a guest. And they were all like, "Oh, thank you. And I felt, my God, sometimes in our movement we are missing one of the main stream, one of the main pillar that give us to the aspect of mercy, which allows us to progress. So this attempt in this session is really to reconnect us very deeply into this Vaishnava seva, and to realize how much value Vaishnavas are. Often because we are living with Vaishnavas, we think they are normal people. But how special are all the souls who are around us trying to serve Krishna? How many in the entire world are taking this decision of surrendering to the Lord, taking this decision of giving their life to the Lord? So few of them are there. So it's very important that we actually value the association of the devotees, and then we can actually enter more and more into this mood of service. Once I was in Croatian camp walking in the forest with Pankajangri Prabhu. I had to bring him to the place where all the lectures were given. I was new Bhakta at that time. I was very young in Krishna consciousness, so I was very, wow, great devotee. But I was thinking I should ask him a question. He was chanting japa. I was thinking, should I disturb him or not? But I was thinking, I should inquire. So I asked him the question. I said, Prabhu, what is the most important in devotional life? Is it the chanting of the holy name? Is it the study of Bhagavatam? What is the most important in your eyes? And he told me the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are most important because from the beginning to the end, they are guiding us. Even when we are very advanced in spiritual life, we still are dependent on the help of the Vaishnavas. And even when we enter the spiritual world, we are guided by other devotees who are experienced in service, in serving Krishna. So in all different states, the Vaishnavas are actually the most important in our life. Vaishnavas are so wonderful. I was speaking with one devotee who was telling me, oh yeah, devotees from Switzerland are really wonderful devotees. But I said, no, Prabhu, it doesn't work like this. It has nothing to do with the country. It's just every Vaishnava, when they become truly dedicated in the service of the Lord, they just shine. They just become such beautiful souls. The devotees are really, really special souls, and we should actually be very, very respectful and very eager to serve all of them and get blessings from all of them. There is another quotation, a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26-31, that give a very nice understanding of what happened when we are engaged in serving the devotees. So I will read it and then I will ask you what I read. So that there are three main blessings or manifestation that will come to us when we serve the devotees. And there is a beautiful analogy too. Just as cold, fear and darkness are eradicated for one who approaches the sacrificial fire, so dullness, fear and ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. Very beautiful. So what will be removed from us when we serve the Vaishnavas? Ignorance, dullness and fear. Yeah, very good. Now, that was the mainstream on Vaishnava Seva, on serving the Vaishnavas. I would like to read another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and then go deeper into that, because Vaishnava Seva is not only serving prasadam or cleaning the dhoti or saris of other Vaishnavas. It has actually very, very deep understanding of how actually we can serve the Vaishnavas. So there is actually two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that I will read to you. And again, please try to be very attentive. I will ask you what are the points in this verse. It's a little longer, so please stay with me. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all sufferings. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead amongst themselves. Thus, they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, their devotion to the practice of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees pleases the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of God, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized body exhibits symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the bodily hairs on end. That's a very beautiful graduation. So what did you hear? Any points? There are a few one point that came at least two times. How do the devotees enliven each other?
They come together and chant the holy name.
Okay.
They always discuss the holy.
Yeah, by Krishna Katha, by discussing about the topic of the Lord. And here we enter a very special realm of service for the devotees. Actually, to provide inspiration to the devotees, to help and support the devotees in their own spiritual progress. And here is such a big and important point. And Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita said, the one who is preaching to my devotees is actually the most dear to me. That's the most pleasing to Krishna. And we can see so much in our movement. We focus so much in outreach preaching, and when people come in contact to Krishna consciousness, we preach to them until they become devotee, and when they start to chant their 16 rounds, we think, okay, that's it, they did it, now they are devotees, now we don't need to take care of them anymore. And we see so many devotees left the movement because they did not get a real support and real help in their development. And this is very challenging, because to preach to new people is not a difficult thing, to speak about reincarnation. We know so many things, they don't know anything. But to help those who are already devotees to progress higher and higher in different stages of their Krishna consciousness, this is not an easy thing. This we really need to give of ourselves. And Prabhupada was saying, I have given gallons of blood for my devotees to become what they are, and that they are able to progress more and more. I was visiting Bombay some years ago. Maharaj had to visit the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and I was with him, and there was Dr. Giridhari in Bombay. And he was telling us one day when we were driving to another doctor in the town, he was telling us that in the beginning of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, all the doctors would help each other to build up the building, to arrange the building and do practical work. And Radhanath Swami was telling them, you need to have meetings in which you speak about Krishna Katha. And the devotees were telling Maharaj, we are all the time together. We are all the time working together, we are taking prasadam together, and we are also speaking of Krishna, about Krishna together. We are so busy. We don't need to have special meetings just to speak about Krishna and hear about Krishna. And Maharaj was saying, no, you need a specific time just for that. Just for that you need to meet together and just speak and hear about Krishna. So they started to do the meeting. And the meeting was meant in the way they will do some bhajan, and then they would all share any inspiration they had during the week. They will meet once a week. So they will all gather the inspiration they had received. It could have been coming from a lecture they have heard, something they read, or something they experienced during the week in connection to Krishna, some prayerful mood or whatever. And Dr. Giridhari was saying, now we just cannot stop. It's just so enlivening. It's just so nourishing for the devotees to just come together and speak about those topics of Krishna consciousness. And here I see also in our communities, very, very often, we are like co-workers. We are obviously speaking a little bit about our life when we take prasad, but most of the time we are just exchanging on, you do this service, I do that service. And in organizational matter, also in service, how we serve together, and it's good, but we very often do not have this space for deep exchange in Krishna consciousness. Like we hear about those six exchanges that Rupa Goswami mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, loving, how to develop loving relationship with devotees, giving prasad, accepting prasad, giving gifts, accepting gifts, which are very nice and very, very good to do. But opening one's mind and asking others to open their minds in confidence, that means the concept of trust enter, which is actually so important and so basic for developing a community, that the members feel they can reveal themselves, they feel they will not be betrayed, or that whatever they reveal will not be spoken out. I think this is very, very important kind of loving exchange in which we should in which the development of the community is very, very much based on that, on this deep exchange and revealing one's heart, allowing all our thoughts to process. Very often everything is stuck in our mind and interrelated with emotions, good, bad, tensions, and all those things. And when we can actually reveal them in a proper environment, then it allows it to come in place. And very often also we get gifts in our spiritual life, beautiful realization, beautiful experience, and if we don't actually reflect and speak again about them, very often we lose them. Or we don't value them. We don't think they were so important. But when we think about and speak about it again, it takes really strength, and we can actually treasure those. So that's small points I like. I mean, I'm just telling them here in the lecture. I don't know how much relevant it is and how much you feel, oh yeah, this is something we should actually work on it. Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking about actually morning and evening lectures should be for this. Maybe this is not confidential, but still is something. There are some realizations. Some senior devotee, they give some realization to the junior devotee, and I think Prabhupada established this morning and evening program in this way, and everything is included. But point is that many devotees they don't see value of lectures. I see this here on the file. Some devotees they can work from the morning to the evening, physical work, and they didn't come for the lecture. My point that sometimes we want, how to say, establish something new and so on, but Prabhupada gives everything. Everything is Prabhupada books and morning programs, editing, and you just should follow. I remember one time Vidyananda Goswami said that morning program is like a set of vitamins, and if you miss something from this morning program, it means for some time you have problems with your body because you need some vitamins.
Yeah, thank you. And
also one point. Because sometimes I hear this very high words like love, loving exchange. I think, you know, this, I don't know, sometimes, you know, maybe this is not love, this high love, but some kind of friendship, some kind of
affection.
Affection. Mm-hmm. So on. And this process is gradual. It means we should start from the beginning. From say, be friendly to another person. And by this step by step we can develop this relationship and more deep and deep. Not that one day I have loving exchange some devotee. No, this is step by step, sometimes it's years.
Yeah.
Especially I have experience because I'm from more or less east of Europe. People on the east, they are more open heart, and it's more easy to. And people on the west are more close, and it's not so easy to get some relationship with them.
Thank you. And I think it's good also that we make this part. I see you have also. It's very good that we do it a little interactive. That we stop when they are. Comments and like this, that's not that we need to wait the end to ask a question or to give a comment. I thank you very much. I also feel this morning and evening program a very, very important nourishment for the devotees, and that I can see I'm also now trying to stay in Golokadham and help Golokadham. And the first step we did, we have to reestablish morning and evening lecture. And also make them relevant. I mean, to really that those who give lecture prepare themselves and really do it in a way that is attractive also. But this is really important part of the nourishment. It's very nice example with the vitamins and.
Well, I remember in my temple in Poland in Wrocław. Temple was very small. It means. Devotees in small rooms and so on, and naturally some fighting, some dissatisfaction and so on. But I have experienced that after Harinam, 3 hours only singing and on the street, when we back, no problem. It's not special meetings and some special resolution that today we be friendly. Only by the potence of holiness it's happened. And many devotees are there.
And that's also, by the way, what is in this verse. By chanting the holy name together and by hearing about Krishna together, that this mood is generated of how it was, of actually one can give up material sense enjoyment because there is so much pleasure into that. And also for the point of love, Devaki Mataji was saying in Bengali, you have like 8 or 9 verse or words that give different type of loves. But in the English language, I mean, affection is quite good. Obviously, real love, it's prema, and it's something quite far away. But when I mention love, you can translate it in affection. That's just a way we have to express ourselves. So there were two Matajis who had also a comment.
I remember Srila Prabhupada speaking about transcendental knowledge. He said, when devotees receive transcendental knowledge, it is their duty to share it. If they refuse to share it, then this transcendental knowledge cannot fructify the heart. And the speaker must be very careful what he's sharing. If he's on an egoistic platform, then the speaker does not do any good to himself, neither to the one who, to the listeners. So the transcendental knowledge that we are receiving, it must be shared in that form, in the transcendental form. And that could be the reason why this, one of the many reasons why Devotees Association is not so powerful, because the transcendental knowledge is not received properly. And the speaker and the listener, they are not benefiting as they should benefit.
Very good. Yeah.
You spoke of that.
Yeah.
You must share this transcendental knowledge, otherwise it does not fructify your heart. Because Krishna has given it to you, and it is your duty to share it. Do not keep it for yourself. That must be shared. And you have to be careful on what platform you share it. Not on an egoistic platform. Not on an envious platform. On a selfless platform. You must give all that you receive to the devotee for his benefit. And then we can see some stronger communities.
And this, thank you Mataji, very nice comment. This is also so important, for example, when we have our own reading time. Or after lecture, when we spend time, usually we spend time when we take prasadam together. That's usually the time that is given, that we can discuss and be together. Usually the rest of the time we are engaged in our different services. But it's so important we learn to summarize what we have read and to just share what were the points that were moving us after a morning lecture. So what did you hear this morning during the lecture? What was there for you, and how would you like to apply this, or to keep on churning the nectar that we get through the reading, and to train ourselves to speak more about Krishna. That Maharaj was mentioning this point yesterday evening, that very often we are exchanging in so many levels which are not so Krishna conscious, are not so nourishing. One devotee was telling me, when we start to follow the diet of eating prasadam and being a little strict of what we are eating, if suddenly we eat something that was not cooked properly with proper consciousness, we immediately feel inside of us. Like Kanabakanana Swami was saying, imagine I give you the most beautiful pizza and I said it's not offered to the Lord. Just feel I cannot eat it. You just feel it's natural. It has to be offered to the Lord. So the devotee was saying, in the same way, when we train ourselves to hear more and speak more about transcendental knowledge, about the topics of Lord Krishna, then whenever some type of prajalpa or some type of useless talks are going on, you just feel like, I don't want that. And you immediately endeavor to bring the discussion back on track. I must tell you, I have strong faith that this will help our movement so much to learn to be able to exchange more on the transcendental level. And I'm actually trying. It's not easy, but I'm trying. There was another Mataji, and then I come to you. Mataji, you also had a comment.
I rely on the words of this problem. I understood you like this. It's not necessary to do several efforts because everything is given. I come from a little city, I'm a very new beginner devotee, or I cannot tell myself a devotee at all, not yet. I'm very beginning. So we have to drive so many hours to reach here, or visit or another temple, so we have to do some effort. We hope to. When I say me, when I think about my son and me, to build up a temple in our town, and there will be some beauty for us in some way, I think. And there is, I hope, the things will be given which are necessary. But it is not a too big effort for us. But something has to be done. Also, with those. I did not yet reach the 16 rounds. I'm just on the beginning.
we all wish the temple to happen in the place where you are, and that you get a lot of inspiration also in this festival. And thank you for your comment. Sangeeta?
It was a question on how, when you're in a circle of devotees and the conversation is pujapa, you know, it just goes off. I mean, not to speak badly of Matatis, but sometimes conversation can be about Alasari goes off into these conversations, and actually after some time you realize that this is the regular conversation. It is happening, especially in the crowd, and you know, trying to put Krishna back in just seems to fade out completely. I just basically broke the conversation.
Good.
just sort of felt like a little like that sort of very uncomfortable silence. Just looking, going, what is she, And I just thought, okay, maybe I'm not right on the right platform, and somehow if I talk about Krishna, I just got a bit shy afterwards. So in fact, I sort of stepped away from the company a little bit, in terms of just, and I just wondered, because you said you tried, how do you deal back, like practically?
It's an art. It's actually what the preachers are doing. The preachers learn this art of bringing the conversation back to Krishna. When you preach with someone, the person will tell you so many things, and you just carefully listen, and then slowly you bring it back to Krishna. It has to be done diligently. Like, for example, when you feel, okay, now we are really lost. Now, again, we are totally into this very low prajalpa. Our energy is sucked out like anything. You can start by praying in your heart, oh Krishna, please give me the intelligence, give me the intelligence and the words to actually bring it in a higher level. Like you are speaking about sari, and you can say, and you remember when Krishna cut his hands, Draupadi ripped off the best of her sari. She did not mind that it was a king's sari. She did, and do you remember how Krishna reciprocated? You just try. Of course, if you just say, you are all nonsense, why are you just speaking about saris day and night long, then it make a strong cut. But you pray, and Krishna will give you the bridge to bring it in a higher level. And sometimes you can just do it in a very subtle way. You just start to speak about something else. And because the topic of sari, or this type of prajalpa, I will say, I don't want to offend any sari lover, but this type of prajalpa usually are not nourishing. Usually they are taking energy. And if you start like a new conversation with something that is more nourishing, usually the devotees will feel attracted by that and will actually happily give their contribution. And sometimes you can just start by asking question. What did you feel yesterday when Maharaj taught about that point? I don't know, it was just in my mind this night. Any one of you thought about this? And maybe something comes up. It's an art. It's good that you don't feel everything is all right. Let's keep on with this sucking energy of prajalpa. It's good that you think, how can I bring it into a higher level, and pray, and then you will get signs and get. I'm trying to do that since quite some time, and now it become easier. But often I get myself too entering into the. It's an art, but it's very, very good service to learn this art.
I think it's a challenge for the Matichi, because Krishna creates this kind of atmosphere, and he knows the devotee within that atmosphere is going to purify it. And he creates that for her. It's a challenge for her. Because if she's in a group, that prachalpa, what form is taking place, and she has the ability to see that this is not conducive, and she wants to carry to a higher level, it is a challenge that Krishna is giving to her. That she that she must have this capacity to do it.
I also thought that she
I remember my Guru Maharaj would often do a Lila Katha about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I would play harmonium as he was. And he was all the time speaking the same pastime, the Prakash Lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is very nectarine Lila. But after maybe 10 or 20 times, my mind just started to fight against it and revolt. In my mind, I was thinking, Kumar, there are so many other lila. Why all the time the same? Why? And one day when this happened, suddenly I heard a voice in my heart. Sorry if it's a little, but that's me. And the voice was saying, do you know this lila? And I noticed, I have heard so many times, but the voice was asking further, if you will be now sitting in front of 20 devotees and you will have to tell these pastimes, will you be able to do it in a nice way? And then I understood, actually, I don't know. I have heard many times, but actually I never heard it. It never reached my heart. It never stayed with me. So I think it's a nice parallel with transcendental knowledge. Very often we think, oh, I have heard so many times these points, or I know what is in Prabhupada's books and things like this. But how much are we able to give to others? How much did we truly absorb in ourselves? Therefore, our reading should be not just a simple reading, which the effort of remembering what we have read and summarizing, and whenever we read something and something touches us, then we should stop and contemplate what is this point, and this is an art of going deeper into. Yeah, that's good to do.
It's been nice to think when I get up to the point where I've been writing it and sticking it on my wall, but I've been yelling out of space sometimes. This
helps
me to remember. Another question. I think you have to, on another point.
Yeah.
But how can we distinguish who is a Vaishnava? No, it's not. Because if self-esteem Vaishnava is the highest thing, then it should be top of priority. But then we need to know what does it really mean. It's a rational. But you also mentioned Goloka Dhamma, so Madhavananda Prabhu says that we cannot know who is a Vaishnava who is not. He gave the example of Jagai and Madai. Previously, the Vaikuntha Dokipas, the great devotees. Yeah, so, I guess what I'm trying to ask, I don't really understand what we mean service to the Vaishnavas. I can give you an example from my experience. It's something that I did to others that happened to me in the excuse of doing high service. So distributing books, one has to quite good sadhana to me. And it happened to me that there was this partner. And he sounded really neglected, didn't see me from 1 meter because he was focused. I mean, his motivation was wasn't really to distribute books to others, but anyway, on the name of doing greater service, he neglected me and other devotee, and I also did this to others, did something similar. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, I understand 2 points in what you say. 1 point, of obviously, who is a devotee, and
everybody
yeah.
Everybody are devotees, just they're covered, but basically, just a matter of time. All jivas are Krishna servants.
Oh yeah. Actually, as more the devotees are advanced, mm-hmm. as more to serve them will be beneficial because they will be able to give good blessings. Now we can ask ourselves, how can I see who is Jai Shishi Radha, can I allow the key? Jai. Yeah, nice. Now it might be not easy to know who is advanced or not, but I think when we hear we cannot know who is a Vaishnava, it's a little bit of a warning so that we don't judge anyone and don't commit offenses to anyone. But in another perspective, you can know who is a Vaishnava according the way they speak, according the way they behave. Like a rich man might not show his money to everyone, but you will see which car he's using and which watch he has, and then you will notice actually this person is quite rich. So when you observe the Vaishnavas and observe how they serve, most of the time you will get quite a clear understanding of the devotees. But at the same time, we should really try to not so much judge, but really in that mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. Because you might think, I serve just my Guru Maharaj. He's the most exalted and I will get the most blessings. But Mahaprabhu said, no. You serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That means that's the way which is actually the most sweet, and so that you don't actually even judge who is the highest Vaishnava, but you are actually trying to serve any Vaishnavas, that any devotees that are around you. Now it's sometimes said, careful to not serve materialistic people, because they might bless you with blessings that are actually opposite to Krishna consciousness and actually not so favorable for your spiritual life. But one should actually not discriminate. Now, you made a very interesting point of neglecting other devotees because of our service. That's something interesting. I was speaking with one pujari who was there in Goloka Dham some years ago. And he was telling, even if I'm in a rush, I have to go on the altar, I have to be timely for my service. If Vaishnava approach me and he need my help, I have to give first the priority to the Vaishnava and then Krishna. Krishna will not be happy to receive my service if I neglected to take care of the Vaishnava. And I have a very nice quote from Guru Govinda Swami that I would like to read to you. Very, very interesting quote. Please listen carefully. Where is Krishna? He is more in the Vaishnava than in the deity. Thakur Haridas never went to the temple, Jagannath temple, but Mahaprabhu went to him. There is a lesson to learn in this. The deity went to the Vaishnava. Mahaprabhu is the walking deity. He is the walking Jagannath. He went to him. You understand? This is our teaching. The Vaishnava is a greater bearer, so to speak, of divinity than the Archa Vigraha, the deity. We are to leave the deity service for the menial service of the Vaishnava. If such occasion should arise, we would not be worshipping the deity without them, and under their direction we would not worship. That means that's just because of the Vaishnavas that we are able to worship, and without them we will not be able to do anything. So therefore they should be prioritized. That's a little strong statement. I recognize, obviously, we also want to not make seva aparat and keep our service with the deities nicely. But the point is clear that the service to the Vaishnavas is actually very important. And I think when the devotees are ignoring the needs or to support other devotees in the name of service, I don't think the service is accepted or pleasing to the Lord. Lord Shiva says to Parvati, if someone worship Krishna but neglect a devotee, his worship is like a ghee that is poured into ashes, like totally useless. Usually ghee is poured in the yagya, but when service, worship to Krishna is offered and the devotees are not respected, then this worship is not accepted, it's useless. So obviously, if you are in the, it needs to be balanced. Sometimes we are very deep into a service that we have to. If you are speaking with the vice president of Germany and preaching to him, we will not interrupt it, even if a bhakta wants to ask us what is the time now or like this. Sometimes we have to see. But in general, it's very very good to give good attention to the Vaishnavas. This will enhance our service. If we neglect them because we are just so much conditioned of what we want to do in our service. Like I remember when I was young bhakta, I was in Zurich temple, and one devotee asked me, can you help us to bring the vegetables down? Every week they will come and we will get like 20 or 40 box of vegetables, really a big number, and we have to bring down in the cellar. And I said, no problem, I have some other service. This is common. It takes 10 minutes, we are all doing it together now, come. And I could see I'm just imprisoned in my concepts. Okay, this is my service. I want to do like this, I want to do like that. And this, often Krishna comes to break down those concepts or those our own plans or how we want to do the service. And there we should really work to give the priority in serving other Vaishnavas, especially when they come to us and demand some help. Good. So should we proceed further? Or how are you? Huh? Now, at 6:30. Great. So it was a good churning. What do you think? Should we keep on this topic tomorrow, or we just go on Namaruchi tomorrow?
I have a couple of questions if you don't mind tomorrow, on the topic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, then we can start tomorrow with those questions. Also, if any one of you get some other thoughts, please keep the topic in mind. Keep on thinking actually how you can serve other Vaishnavas around you in the best way. And tomorrow we can start the session by a little sharing of our thoughts on this Vaishnava Seva, and then we could eventually move forward to let's see how it goes. We are not bound to any structure or anything special. Great. So thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Gaur Nitaya ki jai. Nishingadev Bhagavan ki jai.